stands to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, friend, if He isn't your Savior, He wants to be your Savior. In fact, friend, He came to be your Savior. Debbie and I are so glad that you tuned in, and may we tell you today, Merry Christmas to you and to your house. What a great privilege it is, friend, to know the Christ that came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Look, I've opened my Bible to the book of Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read a couple of verses out of that passage after Debbie does one of her most beautiful songs. The title of it is Mary Held the Hands, and I know you'll enjoy it. When she finishes, I'll be back with the message of God today.
A young mother holding her child, keeping him warm as she held him close by her side. She watched with amazement in the manger as he lay. I wonder if Mary realized she was looking in God's eyes.
Mary.
Isn't that just beautiful?
Yes.
Is that just beautiful? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Debbie. What a beautiful song, and how appropriate, friend. How appropriate for this day and for this season that we're celebrating. As I told you, I'd open my Bible to the book of Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the Lord willing just two verses 6 and 7, and take out of that a text for you and my message today that I trust will be a blessing to you. Sir, ma'am, if you don't know Jesus, listen. I'm going to tell you about the birth of the Savior. That's what this message is about. There's just one. There's not multiple ways to heaven. Do you hear me? There is just one way, friend. He's the door. He is the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. And He's the only one that can bring salvation to you today. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. Again, I want to talk to you today for just a little while about the birth of the Savior. But I'm going to tell you what, the doctrine of the conception and the virgin birth of Christ is one of the most important doctrines there is of the Christian faith. In fact, my friend, it can be referred to as a cardinal doctrine. You said, well, preacher, what in the world is a cardinal doctrine? A cardinal doctrine is one of those things that is an essential element of something. And in this case, the conception, the virgin birth, the miraculous supernatural conception of Jesus Christ in a virgin's womb that allowed her to have a virgin birth, friend, I'm going to tell you, is one of the essential elements of the Christian faith. I want you to know, in fact, that it's so significant that without this great feat divinely performed, there'd be no Savior. There'd be no salvation. There'd be no message of good news. There'd be no empty tomb. But today, thank God I bring you good news. Today, I'm here to tell you that a Savior came, that He was born of a virgin. And if you would like to know Him and to know what it is to be delivered by Him from your sins, their penalties, their power, and one day by the grace of God, their presence. Listen, friend, you can know it to do. You can know it today. When we think of Christ's virgin birth, you know what we need to realize? We need to realize that His birth was natural. We've heard that all of our life. We even still speak it like I just did, and it's not an untruth. People ought to understand what we're talking about when we talk about the virgin birth of Christ. But I want you to know, it wasn't the birth of Christ that was supernatural. That was just as natural as it could be. Mary had her a baby boy, just like Elizabeth had John the Baptist. Mary gave birth just like every other woman had up to that point in time, and has ever since that a point in time. But I want you to know, friend, what was supernatural was the conception. Oh, that's what was so amazing about this. And that conception, friend, sets it above and apart from all others. Every child, all child, every boy, every girl, this birth was like no other birth. And it produced a child like no other child. I want you to know, friend, listen, that this firstborn son of Mary, this son of Almighty God, this only begotten son of God, He would be no ordinary man. He would live no ordinary life. He would die no ordinary death. So He must have an unordinary beginning. And so it was. Listen to what Paul said about it. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about it as he was writing his first letter to a young man by the name of Timothy, who was pastoring a church, no doubt, at that time. And Paul, when he wrote, he said this. He said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that holy ground? Isn't that reason and cause for us to rejoice in the Lord this day? Oh, in light of that fact, listen to me. Yea, listen to the Spirit of God this morning, unsaved friend. In light of that fact, in light of that fact, no one of us can explain it. I mean to tell you, though we cannot explain it, it behooves all of us to simply accept it by faith and accept the benefits that God has made available to me and you, to whosoever will, to us by sending His only begotten Son into this world. Oh, my friend, how vitally, how utterly, vitally important is the truth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And although, as I've already said in this message, it's both incomprehensible and inexplicably infinite, it is totally believable when we just simply remember that although things are impossible with man, as Gabriel spoke to Mary on that fateful night. Listen, when Mary said, "How can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" After that, Gabriel said, "You're going to conceive in thy womb and bear a child, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and that holy thing that shall be born to thee shall be the Son of God, and be the Son of David. He'll sit on the throne of Judah or Jerusalem, and of David's kingdom, of that kingdom, there would be no end." But Mary, though she questioned the angel, had a message that angel by the name of Gabriel said to her, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." So listen. So with these things, friend, so these things and so much more that I didn't say in mine, let's briefly consider some things about the birth of the Savior, the birth of God's only begotten Son. Number one, I want you to realize that it was divinely declared. Isn't that amazing? Oh, look, friend, we know when our wives get pregnant that in these days you can take a home pregnancy test. I don't have to tell anybody that. Debbie and I were sold. We had to go to the OBGYN's office. They had to run a blood test, and a rabbit had to die. Never forget it. We still got the paper somewhere where we went to check on the text and of the receptionist to the window. She wrote a little note on just a scrap of paper and said, "It's positive, or the rabbit died." Oh, listen, friend, I'll tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing to think how that the birth of Jesus was declared. How that, friend, listen, today we get a message that in 9 months you can expect a baby. But oh, you know what God did? God went back, way back, some 4,000 years before Jesus came and promised that He would. I'm telling you, it was divinely declared. Man didn't have anything to do with it, but God did. Mary was just simply a vessel in the hand of Almighty God. She was a handmaiden that told God to use her basically however He saw fit. However He saw fit. And the prophecies of the Old Testament began with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we find what is referred to in theological circles, the first evangelium, which promised, friend, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, look, God promised to Eve a Savior after that she and Adam had so grievously sinned. And God promised her that she would send, that He would send her a Savior. And a Savior He sent. You know who it was? It was His only begotten. Hey, from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi 5:2. Listen, friend, where God gave a blessing to Bethlehem, afraid He said, out of thee, listen, shall come He that, let me get it right, all the number of times that I've quoted Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, listen to what it says. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." Listen, "whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting." Isn't that amazing? Oh, listen, out of the Old Testament, down in the Old Testament, through the days that were gone past, God clearly, friend, prophesied about the coming of the Savior, about the coming of the Christ, about the coming of His only begotten Son. And yet, isn't it quite paradoxical that we read in the Gospel according to John chapter 1, verse 11, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Oh, sinner friend, can I beg you today? Can I beg you today? Don't refuse Him. Accept Him if He's knocking on your door, and I know He is. If He's speaking to you, just open up your heart and your mind, your life, and let Him come in. Would you do that? Listen, He was given for Israel to be, all those prophecies were given to Israel to allow them to be looking for their Savior. And oh, look, they missed Him. I pray today that you don't. Not only was He divinely declared, but things were divinely prepared. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? But notice the phrase, when the fullness of time was come. You know what that means? It means the things that were going on in the world. It means the things of those who were empowered. It means those, friend, who have brought certain things into being in that world of that day. Just for instance, Rome was in power, as we all know, at that time. And all what they did with the roads to make travel easy and to prepare. Friend, listen. The message of the gospel that was soon to be preached after this, to go into all the known world at that time. What about the Greek? What about the nation of Greece and the Greek language that they brought into being? That precise language, that beautiful language, that marvelous language that was so pointed and so proper and so pristine. Ah, listen, friend, God made no mistake. And when He allowed that language to be in place, when He sent His Son into the world to allow Him to live among men, to die for men, I listened to make intercession for them and to promise He would come for them one day. Oh, aren't you thankful for the language that was in place so that we could have the message that we have today? And what about, listen, the deep spiritual need of that Hebrew nation, of the Jews? She had gotten her place in such a shape, friend, that she needed a Savior. Oh, the plan, this plan, how that was perfect, this plan, how that was divinely prepared, came out of an eternity past. It, listen, friend, and it manifested itself in a perfect way, at a precise time, in the prescribed place and manner God knew that it would. But not only was there, listen, friend, and not only was His birth divinely declared, divinely prepared, it was divinely performed. Oh, look, if I had time to read all of chapter 1 that I'd like to read of the book of Luke, beginning with verse 26 down to verse 38, you would understand more about what I mean. Listen, that passage of Scripture gives us the divine record of how a virgin by the name of Mary from a city by the name of Nazareth, espoused to a man by the name of Joseph, who was sexually pure, conceived in her womb, brought forth a child who had no earthly father, but yet had come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, look, what a great conversation Gabriel had with Mary. May I plead with you to read it? But listen to what I'm going to read. I'm going to read the words from a man by the name of James Orr. And listen to what they say about this great feat. Talking about the virgin birth now. He said, doctrinally, it must be repeated that belief in the virgin birth of Christ is of the highest value for the right apprehension of Christ's unique and sinless personality. He is one, as Paul brings out in Romans 5:12, who free from sin himself, not involved in the Adamic liabilities of the race, reverses the curse of sin and death brought in by the first Adam, and establishes the reign of righteousness and life. Had Christ been born naturally, not one of these things could be affirmed of Him. As one of Adam's race, not an extant from a higher sphere, He would have shared in Adam's corruption and doom, and would Himself have required to be redeemed. Through God's infinite mercy, He came from above, inherited no guilt, needed no regeneration or sanctification, but became Himself the Redeemer, the Regenerator, the Sanctifier of all who received Him. Have you done so yet today? Listen, friend, the birth of Christ was divinely declared, divinely prepared, divinely performed, and was divinely done. Now look, one of the amazing things about Jesus' birth, it all seemed to be common enough. We know about Bethlehem, do we not? We know Bethlehem was spoken about. We know about the stable. We know about the manger. We know about those swaddling clothes that Mary bound Him with. But you know what's more important to know? It's not just that a man, was conceived in a woman's womb, but in the womb of Mary and birthed that day. But it was the God-man, deity and humanity eternally fused together. Listen, friend, it was God manifest in the flesh. He was sent for a divine purpose that would change the eternal destiny for the whosoever wills of this world. Isn't that amazing? Oh, look. Look, Mary's birth of Jesus. I mean, to tell you, it was divinely planned, divinely prepared, divinely performed, divinely planned out in eternity past. But on the day that it happened, although the birth was natural, what was birthed was supernatural. It was God, friend, who became man. He was so much God, it was as if He were not man. He was so much man, it was as if He were not God. And yet this God-man came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Luke 19 and 10 tells us. I've quoted that on this radio program time and time again. And friend, listen, that means you. That meant me. Oh, listen, when we come into this world, we come in as a sinner. We come in destined for a Christless eternity. But you know what God did? God did something about that. God, the Bible says in John 3:16, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what the only begotten means? You know what that phrase, only begotten, means? It means one of a kind. There's none like Jesus. Never has been, never will be. There's been a multitude of babies born, both male and female. And by the way, let me say there's only two, male or female. And they, listen, have come into this world just like Jesus came into this world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God Almighty would humble Himself enough to be attached to the womb, the wall of a woman's womb, so that He could be born into this world to become my Savior, your Savior, and the Savior of the world? Listen, it's the season of receiving gifts, giving them and receiving them. May I ask you, have you received the best gift? Have you received the gift of Jesus, God's only begotten Son? Have you received His gift of eternal life? You get Him, friend, you get eternal life. Have you received His gift of deliverance from your sins? Some of you are so bound up in a sin. Some of you that are listening today are so bound up by some sin. And I could name a few, from drink to drugs to pornography to gambling to fornication to adultery and all kinds of things, but you can be set free today if you just realize you're a sinner. And go to Christ and say, oh, listen, I have sinned against you. And I'm sorry that I have sinned. I know I deserve hell. But right now, the best I know how, I repent of my sin. And by faith, I receive you as my Savior. Save me, God, and I'll live for you till I come live with you. If you pray some kind of sinner's prayer today, if you call on the Lord like the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll be saved. Listen, Jesus was birthed and you can be born again today. Why don't you do it right now?
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.